Christian friends, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The text is from the 23rd Psalm, verse 3. He restores my soul. Christian friends, let me ask you a question. Have you ever restored an item, such as perhaps an heirloom rocking chair, or maybe a roll-top desk or a china cabinet? I know some people, I don't know anybody in this congregation, that likes to restore old cars. And no doubt some of you have restored crashed computers. I do have a brush with restoration experience. My cousin told me that he had my paternal grandmother's treadle sewing machine. And since Sherry likes to do a lot of sewing, I knew that she would be happy to have an heirloom like that, cheaper than her latest sewing machine. Anyway, he brought it all the way up from California, and I got it, and I got to work on it for maybe 8 hours over maybe 3 or 4 days, but it's still in the garage, and it has stuff piled as high as you can pile stuff, mainly yard clipping tools and stuff like that. I lost interest in the restoration project, and I don't think my wife would have used it a whole lot. Anyway, you know how difficult it is to restore an old item that has seen its better days, and even harder to restore a broken relationship. It takes time, money, and lots of hard work to restore things back to the way they were, and an even greater amount of work to restore a damaged, broken relationship. David, the author of the Psalm, knows firsthand about broken relationships. With King Saul, who tried to murder him, with his son Absalom, who tried to overthrow him from his throne, and with God over his sin with Bathsheba. David, the author of this beloved psalm, states in confidence, Yahweh, our loving Lord and good shepherd, will restore us. He has this confidence that God's anger will not last forever because he is compassionate and slow to anger. David knows that his shepherd is the one who comes to his aid and restores his life from the pit of despair. You see, David is like every other sinner who walked the face of the earth. He needs God's forgiveness to restore the relationship he had with him. And from the first Adam to the last Adam who will walk on the face of the earth, we all need restoration. David needed to be restored. In Psalm 51, he cries out to God, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." David had sinned with Bathsheba, and God had sent the prophet Nathan to tell him that David was the man. David, to his credit, didn't try to blame someone else or make excuses. He acknowledged that he had sinned against God. He said, "I have sinned against God." And Nathan told him, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." Restoration was done, and hope was given immediately. For this reason, in this psalm, he uses the Hebrew word shub, which means repent or turn. He uses the verb form, which means Yahweh is a super restorer, completely of my life. This is to say that he's not only thinking of restoration here on earth, but of the final restoration at the resurrection. This, my friends, is pure gospel. The Holy Scripture is littered with stories of broken relationships, broken bodies, and broken lives. We meet Joseph as his brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver. But later on, their relationship was restored as Joseph forgave them their sin. Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria, was restored from his leprosy by the servant of the Most High God, the prophet Elisha. And we can't forget the restoration of the prodigal son by his loving and caring father. And Luke tells us of Barnabas and Paul, the great missionaries to the Gentiles, who had a falling out over taking Mark with them on their second missionary journey. It was so severe that they parted ways, but later on, God did restore their relationship. Likewise, we, the sinners who are members of this body of believers, have no doubt had fallings out with our brothers and sisters. Sometimes our falling out is so severe that we part ways, just as Paul and Barnabas did. But when we come to the throne of grace in mercy, seeking forgiveness, God restores. When we confess that we have sinned against him in word and deed, he does indeed restore us. When we let the devil get the best of us by disobeying God, and we come crawling back in repentance, the faithful good shepherd hears our confession and restores us through the gift of absolution. Friends of the good shepherd, Jesus, daily we need to be restored, and only he of whom David spoke can do that in our lives. You see, restoration takes a lot of work. Restoring those old intricate pieces of furniture or an old car require great attention to detail to make the restoration complete. If restoring an inanimate object is this hard, imagine how hard it is to restore a soul. A human soul corrupted by sin and stained with guilt and destined for death requires a much more difficult process of restoration. It requires much more than a matter of a little sanding and some elbow grease and a new coat of varnish. No, the restoration of the soul is a serious matter that takes hard work. Nowhere was the work of restoration harder than the work that the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, did on the cross. It was more than a cut at the cross. It was more than just a layer of lacquer. Your restoration took the ultimate work of Christ's life and death to make you whole. And it is that hard because this restoration was not about your outside, it's about your whole being. The restoration that the Good Shepherd did on you was a matter of taking you from death to life. A restoration by Christ, the heaven-sent Savior, reached its height on Calvary's human cross, in the tomb, and at Jesus' mighty resurrection. So precious did Jesus consider each and every sinner that he was willing to pay the maximum price for each one, his life, his own holy, precious, and crimson blood. The faithful shepherd Jesus restores the sinner to his right standing with the Father by taking the place of the sinner. He does all this through his gracious mercy shown to us on Calvary's cross. Our faithful and caring good shepherd comes to battle the forces of sin, death, and Satan on our behalf. He comes to free us from the bondage of slavery of sin and restores our souls. He comes with healing in his wings and he pours out water and blood to cleanse us from every evil desire and thought. Paul, the former murderer and persecutor, who became the greatest messenger and preacher of the Holy Gospel, speaks of the restoration of the sinner in this way. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Our restoration is a miracle brought about by the Good Shepherd Jesus. We know this because of one moment in history that was the darkest. There was no moment in history of humanity that more deserved to be told and retold. It is the moment on the cross when Jesus echoed the words of Psalm 22 and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was that moment when the greatest injustice of all time was happening. There's no greater injustice than for an innocent person to suffer death for the sake of the guilty and condemned. But on the cross of Calvary, the sinless Son of God was suffering all the torment and agony that our sins deserved. This horrible moment of great evil was endured for the lost, least, and last, you and me. No wonder David said that Yahweh, his loving shepherd, would restore him. He knew that his loving and caring shepherd needed and would restore him, and so do we. This restoration takes a lot of work, expense, and time. For 6 long hours, Christ hung on the cross. For 6 long hours, he endured the shame and humiliation. For 6 long hours, he stood strong as when willing to endure all of God's wrath. For 6 long hours in the heat of the day, with lips cracked and chapped, he stayed on the cross to restore you. Father, who day after day waits for us, his prodigal children, to bless us and fill us with his joy and peace. Today we remember the words of David, that the Lord restores my soul. He has and he does. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit has brought us here today to be restored. We have been restored, and therefore we praise our restorer, our faithful good shepherd, for his mighty work in our lives. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.